Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we'll get to what I teased in a moment about if you lost this, you won't believe it. But first, Nick Caserio is the Texans GM. Jack Easterby is their director of culture, their CEO. He spoke publicly for the first time over the weekend on a Jacob and Jacob podcast. A couple of young kids from Philadelphia. Jack Easterby, for some reason, was on their podcast, even though I'm sure he's had multiple requests.
How did that happen?
I think it was staged.
he picked them. They didn't pick him, so to speak.
I think it was staged, yeah. I mean, I don't think that I'm pretty sure the Texans don't want Jack Easterby talking. I think that's why he's not on with the Highway to Hell. I think it's why he hasn't talked to McClain on the Chronicle. He talks privately to media members, but has not been on the record yet. He goes on the record with this Jacob and Jacob podcast. I think it was a little bit of doing them a favor, to be honest with you. Like, give back to the children. It's always good. What about the children? So I think it was good that he did that. But it is kind of fishy that for the first time he speaks publicly in a very long time, that the first time he does it is with this Jacob and Jacob podcast. But there are things he said, and there are things that are I think, prevalent of what he said. One of the first things is about Jack Easterby, in my opinion. Like, a lot of people are hearing the quotes and the comments that Jack Easterby said to the Jacob and Jacob podcast, and they're bashing Jack Easterby today because it's the easy thing to do. He's the whooping boy for the Houston Texans. He symbolizes the failures of the Houston Texans. He symbolizes the decline of the Houston Texans. And I think a lot of it can be unfair at times, especially where he is today, as opposed to being the interim GM at the time. But I believe Jack Easterby, his role has been diminished. I believe he has been given like a little bit of a demotion. While he might still have the title, he might still have the pay, I don't feel like he is that responsible for a lot of the decisions going on in this organization, especially on the 53 and some of the bigger things. Here was one thing that Jack Easterby had to say on the Jacob to Jacob podcast that, in my opinion, proves that to an extent.
And make sure our operation is efficient, whether that's sideline stuff or halftime stuff or just helping the overall operation. So our goal really during game day is to serve and, again, make sure the operation runs as smooth as possible.
So he's on the sidelines. He's, like, doing that. But that lets you know that he's not all that responsible. Like, they asked him what he was doing. Yeah, I'm looking at the sideline. I'm trying to serve. Like, that to me shows zero responsibility, and I believe that's a position we want Jack Easterby in.
We'll take it like the strength coach that's in charge of yanking the head coach off the field so that he doesn't get a penalty and keeping the sidelines clear, as opposed to a guy that's trying to force feed you Josh McCown with no coaching experience. Because I was going to ask you, how do you differentiate between, is he diminished? Does he have a diminished role just because his choice isn't selected? Or are there other qualifications that lead you to believe this? Because I'm with you. Look, I'd like to believe that there is a belief that he is better suited in a lesser role on the football side. But I don't know if that's the case because he's gotten so tight with Cal. And from multiple people that I've talked to, he convinced Cal that McCown was the guy. And then thankfully, Caserio was able to overrule. And you got to believe, basically, I'm sure if push came to shove, say, you brought me in to do this job. If you're going to bring me in to do this job, let me do it. You guys can suggest till you're blue in the face if you'd like and make sure that's deep steel blue. But understand that I'm going to be the one that pulls the trigger and tells you who we're picking because that's what you hired me to do.
See, a lot of people would hear what you just had to say and that would terrify them about Jack Easterby, right? That he has the influence to get a Josh McCown who has 0 years of coaching experience above the high school level to get an interview 3 times to be the head coach in a 12-month period and twice this coaching cycle. I would point to the fact that he was not hired as the head coach, though, right? Like, ultimately, he was not given the head coaching position. So even if you were to say that Easterby and McCown was Easterby's guy, but didn't get hired as the head coach, wouldn't that show you a diminishing return on the power that Easterby has in that organization?
I suppose it could. It's just, you know what? It's the fear factor. I'm hopeful that I don't have as big of a fear factor every time I hear his name and or that his influence is somehow being considered, right? The dynamic between him and Cal has just always been very, very puzzling to me.
Sure.
Because, like, you and I could be friends, right? But one of us gets a job in the front office of a team and brings the other one on. We're still friends. But that friendship, to me, is not going to be predicated on what we do on the business side. And I'm not going to make sure that my job's going to be decided by having you involved and or decisions made together as opposed to what I feel like is my strength that I'm here to do. And hopefully that doesn't affect our friendship. You almost feel like Cal feels like, if I don't treat Jack right, he's not going to brunch with me on Sundays after church, and that we're not going to be the buddies we are now. And so, therefore, I still want him to do what he really wants to do, as opposed to what I'm paying him to do, if that makes sense.
See, I think Jack Easterby, what his current role is in this organization, and we can read you the fancy title. We see him on the sideline. We see him high-fiving the players on the practice field. We see him pushing.
When you see the salary, it's a job you and I would both take in a heartbeat.
But I'm not gonna criticize his, like, him making X amount of money. I'm not going to criticize Cal paying him X amount of money. That's Cal's money. It's not diminishing the amount of money he's spending on the roster, right? So I don't care about that. I believe that Jack Easterby and how we view Jack Easterby right now this day is overstated. And look, I get why we view Jack Easterby as this, because like I said, he symbolizes the failure of this organization and he symbolizes the rapid decline of the organization. But what is Jack Easterby doing these days that are affecting this organization at all?
But we don't know.
I don't think he has any of that influence.
But we don't know.
Show me an example of what it could be. Because he didn't hire the head coach. Because he didn't push for Lovie Smith. He was pushing probably for Josh McCown. He has zero to do with the roster. Like, what is he doing that has influenced the trajectory of this franchise? Nothing, in my opinion.
But that's your opinion, knowing what you know that's put out there. We're not behind those four walls on Kirby. We don't know. Like, I know for a fact in talking to people that were working there at the time that he came in and influenced who was working in all aspects of their jobs in the front office, football side and business side, because of cultural issues. Or because they rubbed him the wrong way. And it's like, and there were a lot of people offended by that because these people had done their time, paid their dues, you know.
When was this though?
In the last two,
right.
2.5 years.
And that's my point, is I think that stuff did exist. And look, whenever he got brought in, they gave him a position that he was not qualified for. And at the moment they brought him in, I was the only person saying that the highway to hell. And people were like, well, you can't be saying that. He has too much influence, too much stroke. I was like, well, he's a team chaplain that has, you know, responsibilities of basically being the president of the organization. And the way that he shoved out Brian Gain, he and Bill O'Brien kind of combining to do that. And then I don't know if he shoved out Bill O'Brien. Like, O'Brien was 0-4. There was a lot of turmoil going on there. But even if he did, okay, whatever, he did. He got the GM job. And look, while he was the GM, during the regular season. There's not as much to screw up. Not saying he didn't screw things up, because he did. His tenure as the GM and his tenure pre-Nick Caserio is awful. I get it. That's why we look at him as this black cloud. We look at him as the symbolism of failure in the organization. But since Nick Caserio got brought in, I don't think Jack Easterby is doing anything of significance influence.
I hope you're right, and that's fair to at least assume that unless the story comes out where we might find that differently. But I think here's the other thing, the perception and why it's even a lot stronger and more than what you're saying is because there's an animosity there, because who cares what he's making, right? But if you know that he's making it for basically stealing money for not only what he's not doing on the football side, whether he's not allowed to anymore, or what he once did on the football side he was never qualified to do, that's a big issue. The fact that his name was associated with some of the best players in the franchise in the franchise's history, possibly, and in the game of football, that were shown the door and otherwise, and he was a part of. The fact that I don't think anyone likes a backstabber, and the fact that that's where I was going to go.
Yeah.
From a fan's perspective, you want loyalty in terms of your sports, your relationships, your friendships, whatever the case may be. And when you hear from multiple sources, hey, look, he was Bill's guy till he wasn't. When he found out that Bill was starting to get hated by the whole team, instead of still being Bill's guy and being loyal, he said, hey, send me all the texts from all the players that have a problem with Bill. I'll take them to Cal. Cal got fired. He got saved. Saved in a way that Jack's not used to being saved, but at the same time, saved in the fact that that became a pattern, too, that people started to despise. Like, dude, you are a backstabber. You are crooked.
That was all BC. That was all before Caserio. And, like, I'm not denying any of those things. That's why we look at Jack Easterby now and are like, oh, how dare he still be in this organization. Completely get the hate for Jack Easterby. But in terms of where he's at now in the organization and the pool and the weight, does he have Cal's ear? Yes. But did he have Cal's ear to hire the head coach? No. However, way they got to Lovie Smith, they got to Lovie Smith. So everything after Caserio, I feel like Easterby's power has been diminished. And some of the things, like everybody right now is listening to this Jacob and Jacob podcast. They're nitpicking every single thing Easterby has to say. Why? Because the city hates Easterby and they're pandering to popular opinion, which I get. Like, hey, let's pander to our listeners. Let's pander to the people that hate Easterby. But Easterby does not have the power that he had before Caserio.
And we can hope that that's the case. But here's the thing, too. We talked about this from the minute that Caserio got the job. Basically, Caserio wouldn't have had this job without Jack. So for the first year, Jack was going to be brought along for the ride no matter what, right?
Sure.
But then it became Nick's basic decision after that, along with Cal, to say, hey, after that 1 year, let's reevaluate, see where we're at. And so far, they've kind of settled into a happy medium. Where it becomes a bigger negative still, though, that Caserio might have an issue with it going forward is, even if he's not as involved in football operations, there's still, as you mentioned, that black cloud. I like to say there was a black cloud over the franchise with Deshaun and all the other aspects of it. The deep shade of that cloud was brought to you by Jack Easterby. Whether guilt by association. Now he might not have as big of a starring role on the football side as he once did, but from an agent's perspective, another team's perspective, players' perspectives, he's still there. So from their standpoint, right or wrong, but I'm saying they're going to assume that if he's still there, there's still some things that aren't exactly right with that franchise.
Look, I think this is basically the headset gate on a larger scale where the perception is greater than the actual reality, because the Easterby perception is large. I'm not denying that. I just feel the perception now is far greater than what the actual reality is. But what free agents are not coming to Houston because of Jack Easterby? Like, show me one. Because I don't believe that this would be a situation where you're looking for free agents yet. And then maybe that's something that plays out in the future, but I don't think that Jack Easterby being on this staff has influenced a player being a Texan versus not being a Texan since Deshaun Watson, which, again, was right around the time Nick Caserio was hired. 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead.
Hey, just want to say I disagree. The fact that we had Josh McCown as a finalist for the head coaching position, number one, makes us look like a complete clown organization. There's no way that happens without Jack Easterby's influence that has been reported and speculated on by many people. And they were basically going to hire him if the lawsuit hadn't come from Flores. So how you can say he doesn't have any influence when there's zero chance that we would even be interviewing the McCown without Easterby, for only for us to end up with Lovie Smith, who wasn't interviewed by anybody else and was not even considered a candidate, that's having influence on our current situation. So how you can say he has no influence when there's basically lots of evidence to say that he does, I'm not sure how you can come to that conclusion.
Appreciate the call, Gary. And you don't have to hate to disagree. We encourage that here. It's why we have good conversation, and we love your calls, Gary, even if it is something that you disagree with. That's what we do. We like to talk both sides of it. As far as McCown being a finalist, he was. He was part of the final six, right? He was put on the Houston Texans website as one of their coaching candidates. Many people around the league viewed that as something that you would symbolize and represent a clown organization. I would push back with that of, well, he didn't get hired. Like, and you can say Lovie Smith was a compromise hire. The one side of the table wanted McCown. One other side of the table wanted somebody else. But Josh McCown was not hired. So if Easterby has the influence and the sway, Josh McCown not only is not even the head coach, he's not even on the staff.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second, though.
Let's do it on the other side.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's play devil's advocate on the other side. We'll also get to more of your calls
get
on the other side.
Get my pitchfork and my horns ready.
713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in. 713-780-3776. I think the Easterby influence is far more perception today than actual reality. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I believe the Easterby influence in this organization is more perception than reality. Easterby talking for the first time publicly in a long time on this Jacob to Jacob podcast, and everybody's just going through every single sentence he said and showing how bad Jack Easterby is before, now, and for the future. And I'm saying that it's pretty ridiculous and just pandering to the popular opinion. Oh, our listeners want to hear this, so let's do that. Oh, our constituents want this, let's give them that. But we tell the truth here, at least I do. No, you do too.
Oh, yeah.
But I want it. That's not how I meant that. My bad. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to you in a moment. 713-780-3776. But Joel wanted to play devil's advocate, and I wanted to make sure we got to that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it from a devil's advocate perspective, how do we know that McCown wasn't going to be the guy until they were basically told that they couldn't have that guy? Because of the fact that after the Flores situation not only came about, but then continued to linger and everybody was talking about it, the fact that we didn't know where Lovie Smith came from, and all of a sudden he was a finalist and all of a sudden he got the job, kind of leads you to believe the fact that there were some circumstances that were unforeseen that kind of changed the whole dynamic. So from a lot of the perspective, including the last caller, Gary, when they wanted to have a different perspective of it, there's also a good chance that the reality was they really were going to hire Josh McCown, and he was their guy, which would have been Jack's guy and Jack's influence on the hiring, but just couldn't because of the fact that the landscape and the lay of the land said, right now, at this time, with the lack of resume and all the other factors, you can't do that right now.
I thought that it was going to be McCown all along. I was actually making a case of why McCown would be the better hire, and I said for days after the fact that they hired Lovie Smith, that they hired Lovie Smith because of the Brian Flores lawsuit, and that it would be Josh McCown that was going to be the hire. And I even had the idea that he was going to be on the staff and they were going to groom him to be the head coach, and that was wrong. And with people that have been close to the situation saying that it was never going to be Josh McCown, which I don't know if you want to believe that or if you don't want to believe that. I've had people tell me that. I don't know if that's true or not. I still believe that they were probably leaning in that direction and that McCown was Easterby's guy. But at the end of the day, they didn't hire Josh McCown.
But that would mean that up until 2 months ago or less than 2 months ago, he still had influence.
Is influence in what sense? Like, was he going to be?
Well, because you're saying, you know, it's different now.
Do you think he was going to be the head coach?
I think he would have been the head coach of this team, as much as I thought it would have been tragic and just absolutely the wrong move. I think that the percentage chance that he was going to be the head coach was far, far greater than me thinking that anybody else that I thought was a viable candidate was going to get the job. And I think that scared me. It scared a lot of the fans. But it also kind of leads itself to for you to believe the fact that maybe now it's different, or you'd like to believe now it's different and he's not involved as much.
What you know now in hindsight, if the Brian Flores lawsuit never comes about, who do you think is the head coach of the Texans?
I told you all along that I thought you were right. That
so
I thought,
you think it would have been McCown?
I thought McCown, as much as I disagreed with it vehemently and thought he shouldn't have been, this organization consistently does things I don't think they should do. And I thought this was just going to be another step where they would end up being the laughingstock, even if it turned out by just the fact that he just didn't seem qualified. And I thought, as much as I wanted Flores for the pushback factor on Caserio and other factors and the experience factor, I thought that they weren't going to listen to me regardless. We know that. But I thought they were heading down that road, and they were far down the road of hiring Josh McCown. And if they did, that was head and shoulders smack dab on the middle of Jack Easterby's forehead as he picking that guy.
Sure, I would agree with that. And I thought that at the time. But now, with new information and people and things that I've been told, I believe that Jack Easterby wanted Josh McCown. 100% agree mm-hmm. with that. I believe Nick Caserio wanted one of these other guys, whether it was O'Connell, whether it was Jonathan Gannon. And then the compromise hire ended up being Lovie Smith. That's my opinion of it to this day.
Who do you think interjected? Because I think the communications department, or someone that has some, maybe it was NFL personnel too, that basically got them together. Because we know that at least under the last regime with David Culley, they didn't speak to the communications department and they weren't all on the same page the majority of the time. Maybe that'll change. But I was going to say, Cal as the owner should have a vote too. It seemed like he was influenced by Jack enough, and I was told by certain individuals that Jack and Cal were on board with McCown and that Caserio never was.
So, and they didn't hire McCown.
But was that Nick's doing, or was that because of the lawsuit and the lay of the land?
There's no way of knowing, and I think it's very easy to say it was the Brian Flores lawsuit, and I understand everybody who has that opinion. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Wood, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't know you were coming. I couldn't tell if you were coming to me, but I believe it's me.
Yep.
All right, Jack still has a lot of influence in that locker room. One of the reasons why, because you can tell how they're shipping out players left and right because they want to talk about the culture fit. Then you want to try to make a quarterback out of a tight end who had no experience catching a football in his life other than from a shotgun snap, you know, things like that. All because he fellowshipped with Jack Easterby. Same thing with Josh McCown. They fellowship together on retreats every now and then. So that was a strong reason why he wanted to bring Josh in here, because he was trying to build his team as a faith-based prayer type of team. And he's still trying to do that with a lot of that influence. That's the reason why we're losing Reed as a safety, because he don't want to come back and deal with this kind of mess. That's the reason why free agencies is not going to come here. That's the reason why when they interview head coaches or they decide certain coaches they're not going to interview, they already know where this person is not going to be willing to deal and work with Jack Easterby, because he's a true head coach, and we're going in a different direction with this organization. And most football people know this organization is not ran like a normal football team or a normal football organization anymore. They ran totally different because they're going into this new faith-based direction. And this is not the way you run a football team.
Appreciate the call, Wood. You brought some passion there. I love it, even if it's not a Frankie's Friday fire. As far as the Reed free agency thing, I'm going to hit these points kind of backwards to forwards, is that he said the Justin Reed thing. Justin Reed has been vocal since they hired Lovie Smith, saying he would love to play for Lovie Smith, how it was a great hire, and he would be willing to play for the Houston Texans with Lovie Smith as the head coach. So I think you can get rid of that. I understand the Josh McCown points. But Josh McCown is not a member of the Houston Texans at the end of the day. And you could point to the fact that, well, you had the Brian Flores situation. Why is he not a quarterback's coach? And those are valid reasons and valid concerns. But Josh McCown is not a Houston Texan. The Jeff Driskel point, like, who cares if you made a third-string quarterback, a tight end? Like, he never played a significant snap for the Houston Texans. So I'm going, like, that to me is irrelevant, because Jeff Driskel is irrelevant in terms of actual production for the Houston Texans and getting on the field. And the locker room thing, like, they traded Charles Omenihu for a six-rounder. He was buried. He was not playing. Like, I don't know the reasoning behind that. They cut Zach Cunningham, which was an amazing disaster, because he was a dude that led the league in tackles, and then all of a sudden you're cutting him, and he's an immediate starter for Tennessee. That was a disaster. I don't know who made that call. Do I think Jack Easterby made that call? No, I don't.
No, but when you're thinking about all the different ways you're analyzing all of these things, I think that the other thing, when we talked to people, at least the people that I talked to, said it was either going to be head coach or the highway for McCown, because Nick was not on the side of, we're going to use a position on our coaching staff to basically teach this guy how to coach. That's why it was either going to be that Jack and Cal were going to win out, and maybe that would have been a clear message sent to Nick as well, that maybe he wouldn't even want to be here long term because of it. But he was either going to be the head coach, or he wasn't going to be on the staff at all, because Nick wasn't signing up for the Kool-Aid that Cal and Jack were serving up. But that doesn't mean that Jack didn't have an influence. It just means that the way everything went down, and maybe the internal discussions were, look, if we're going to let this guy do his job, then we're going to let this guy do his job. And for whatever the reason, we aren't going to be able to hire him as the head coach. So we at least have to respect the fact that he's going to be involved with the assistant coaches, and he doesn't want this guy on whoever his head coach is, his staff. Whether the head coach wants him or not, that's a different story.
Look, I get the influence part, because he did get Josh McCown two more interviews, right? Like, I mean, he was an interview candidate twice. But if he didn't get the job, to me it shows that Caserio is carrying more weight than Jack Easterby. And when could you say that somebody was carrying more weight than Jack Easterby in the history of this franchise for the last five seasons? To me, that's the demotion I was referring to. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Jesse, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this whole Jack Easterby thing, it's really a bunch of hype for nothing. Everybody's on the gas. Just like the caller before, if the main point of his call with his problem with Jack Easterby was him and people going on faith retreats. And I think the whole thing with Jack Easterby is just like, if you go into your workplace and start talking about Jesus, you're going to get the same backlash that Jack Easterby has. I mean, he really doesn't do anything for the team. If you read his full job description, he's basically just there to pray and mentor to the players. So, you know, it's just a big circus about nothing, really.
Appreciate the call, Jesse.
You can say that, but there's evidence to say otherwise that, like you said,
in the past,
it's gone way beyond that. So that's why people have the perception that they have. I don't think it's fair, nor that it's where people are coming from in making everything faith-based. I think it's about the track record of past experiences and the past precedent of this franchise and his involvement with those certain incidences that have come up as negatives that he has been associated with that have people to draw that conclusion more than it being faith-based.
713-780-ESPN. I want to play one more clip from Jack Easterby's appearance on the Jacob and Jacob podcast. If you have a thought, we'll take those as well. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let's talk about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Yet again, the men is in the title, but it's for men and for women. And for women and men that don't have the energy they once had and just kind of lose all that kind of get up and go during the course of the day, and that you feel like it's got up and went forever, you can get it back. And it's as simple as going to Apollo Men's Health. Men and women are in there in the lobby every week when I go in for my B12 shot and to get my blood pressure checked and all the things that I do to kind of stay on top of my health and wellness. And they tell me, hey, I heard what you were talking about. I wanted to check it out for myself. I couldn't be happier coming here, and I'm going to continue to come here because I'm seeing and feeling the results on a daily basis. And that's a lot of women saying that as well as a lot of guys. And that's why it's important, because it starts with hormone therapy, which is for men and women. And there's a multitude of ways that you can actually get it administered, and you can feel the difference in the benefits that it can produce. Your health is your wealth. You got to invest in yourself like you do in the stock market. So whether you're dealing with issues in energy, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you got problems, they got answers, they got solutions, and they get your results. That's what I love. They're a results-oriented business that got me the results I was after. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to gain muscle. I wanted to lose body fat. I wanted to keep the things that have been hereditarily a problem for me, like high cholesterol levels, things like that. And they were able to help me get a grasp on all of that and make a difference. They can do the same thing for you. Go to ApolloMH.com right now. Book your first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Get that B12 shot free on your first visit so you can see if it works for you like it works for me. But then be honest with them. They're going to ask you some tough questions on that appointment. You give them the honest answers. Tell them what you're trying to achieve, what you want as a goal. They're going to set that goal for you, and then they're also going to help you to attain it. They do great things on a daily basis. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jack Easterby, Executive VP Football Operations for the Texans. Easterby was named the Executive VP of Football Operations on January 28, 2020, being promoted to the role after joining the Houston Texans as Executive VP of Team Development in April of 19. In his role, Easterby manages all football operations and directs the overall culture of the organization. Easterby was on the Jacob and Jacob podcast over the weekend. First time that Easterby has spoken publicly in a very long time. We were talking earlier, like, I think that the Easterby stigma, if you want to call it that, the perception of Easterby, the black cloud of Easterby, is more perception than reality these days. And like, even if you go back to the press conference of Nick Caserio, look, I think Easterby had a lot of influence prior to Nick Caserio. I don't believe he has that anymore. And some of the things that we're told, and I understand you have to be careful with the things that you're told, but if you go back to the Nick Caserio opening press conference of when they hired him as the GM, Nick Caserio, they asked him, what do you think of Easterby's role with this team going forward? Easterby said, blah, 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 special relationship with the guy. It goes back a number of years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, any personnel decisions is a responsibility that Cal has instilled in me, is to handle the personnel side of the football operation. So that is the expectation moving forward. If you look at what Cal McNair had to say about Jack Easterby, he talked about him being the interim GM. That wasn't something Jack pushed for or wanted. It was something that was needed. And I'm so grateful that he did that for us. He took a lot of heat for it. He did. But it's hard to operate a team without a GM, someone in that seat, someone who had to do those things. A lot of them administrative tax or yeah. But we moved on from Bill as a GM to Jack as an interim GM because they fired Bill O'Brien. And then he was asked about what specific skills make Jack Easterby appealing to you, blah, 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 blah. McNair said, Jack is very gifted in a lot of different areas. Those areas would be things that Nick will need as he moves into his role as the GM. It won't be roster. It won't be free agency. I just don't understand why we still think that Jack Easterby carries so much sway and influence in this organization.
But, Jeremy, and I know you're going to say because it's in the past, we shouldn't look at that. But we were talking about the head coaching search and the fact that his name was constantly involved in it because of McCown. You talk about the general manager search, and his name was constantly involved in it, and inevitably he won that one out because he trumped the search firm, and no matter how much money they were spending, he got his guy. And the reason why people have so much disdain and still are so leery of him being around is because he was able to pull that mastermind of a plan off when all the other candidates, for the most part, you can assume, weren't going to be interested in employing Jack Easterby on the football side. He could still be the team chaplain, maybe, but people were probably even that were getting that job were still leery of the fact that just having him around could be dangerous for what he did to Bill O'Brien by stabbing him in the back. But because of the fact that they gave him five candidates from the search firm to pick as the general manager, and he ends up trumping all those potential candidates to get his own guy by taking the owner's plane, by making his own negotiation and saying, we can't let him get away. And also in the fact in doing so knows, hey, he's going to owe me one. He knows me enough that I'll be able to have my job and I'll still be around the organization and he won't have a problem with it. That's what scares people. I want you to be right. I really do. I want him. I don't care what he does with note cards and positive affirmations and whatever he does on Sundays. I don't care, but I do care if he has a legit say so in the room on football operations.
The example that you refer to and all the examples that I hear are BC. They're before Caserio. And look, I get it. He had a lot of power and influence before.
But he got Caserio.
Yeah, sure. He got Caserio. But what does that mean now? What is he doing to the 53? What's he doing to the personnel? What decisions is he making that's so critical to the Houston Texans that we're seeing? I don't see any of them. Show me one example where Jack Easterby has had influence on the roster since Nick Caserio. I don't see it.
Have you thought about the fact from a public perception standpoint, media standpoint?
I said perception the whole segment.
The last thing Caserio wants or feels like he needs is to have anybody think Jack has had anything to do with this. But if he puts his name on it and says it was mine, but we don't know behind the scenes, we find out that whether it was in part Jack's or Cal said Jack needs to be in the room as well too, and he can make this decision or that decision. We hope that's not the case, but we can't unequivocally say it can't be the case. But if you're Caserio, the last thing you want from a perception standpoint in the league and in league circles, agents, players, and those kind of conversations, as well as media and fan base alone, you don't want them thinking Jack still got an influence on this organization.
Sure, but Caserio said good things about Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby still,
I think, you know, he owes him one.
Role.
He has to.
I mean, does he owe him one? He's got a 6-year contract. You know what I mean? Like, he owes you one in the sense that he got you the job. But he was always part of the plan, though. Like, Nick Caserio was always going to be the Houston Texans GM.
Well, but if you hear Belichick
speak, twice before you even hired him.
You realize that the Patriot Way guys all believe that there is a purpose for Jack Easterby.
Sure.
Bill Belichick himself, though, is the first one to publicly say, just not in football operations.
And since Nick Caserio, you can't point to one single thing that Jack Easterby has done that I think is a Jack
that we
Easterby.
Know of.
Sure, but that's jumping to conclusions, right? It's a bunch of what ifs. Yeah, it is. So, I mean, while your assumption's valid,
both ways.
My assumption
sure.
is also valid, too, but I can't look at one specific example. Either, I mean, the Josh McCown thing, I think you can look at and say, well, he used his influence to get him two interviews, but getting a guy an interview versus getting the guy the job are two so totally different things.
But you yourself said it. Don't you think if the Flores thing never comes to a head and comes out in public and becomes a major deal, you were like me. You thought he was getting the job. If he gets the
sure.
job, then Jack's influence is maybe stronger than it's ever been.
If he gets the job. But he didn't.
But I don't think he didn't get the job because his influence wasn't strong enough. He didn't get the job because there was too much pressure about the climate of everything that was going on out there.
That depends on what side you're on. Because I don't think he got the job because Nick Caserio didn't want him to get the job. Here was one more from Easterby on this podcast. He was asked the question, what do you do on a daily basis? Here's what Easterby had to say.
We're organized in a very unique way. Nick Casario, who's our general manager, does an awesome job with our roster and our football operation in relationship to specific roster transactions, building our team, our personnel, and then our football performance on the field. And then what I try to do is serve the rest of the building through organized in what we call the sub programs, which is all of the sports performance team and the onboarding efforts of our team. And then also all the logistical components and the data and technology components that really support the team. So it's a support role that really hopefully drives the innovation and hopefully the efficiency of the operation to give the coaches and the players and the general manager what they need to be able to do their job well.
People hate Easterby so much, they're going to hear that and just be like, oh, that sounds awful. So much sway, so much control. You know what I hear there? I hear a director of operations is what I hear. I hear an ops guy that handles logistics. Has zero to do with the personnel and with the roster.
But you also have to understand where the people's thought process comes from.
Sure,
right?
I respect it. I understand it. That's why I said it's more perception than reality.
I mean, if he, you know, people were wanting him to say one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish as part of that, just so that they could hate him even more. It's just the fact that sometimes, and this goes back to his own philosophy on culture, sometimes in order to move on and move forward, you have to be able to make moves that just are simply done to start over on culture. And so maybe he has changed. Maybe the organization has too. Maybe he's not as involved as he once was. But because of the perception and the negativity that goes with it, I think that most people won't be happy with no matter what he's doing, even if he's so far away from football, it's crazy. They won't be happy till he's gone because of all the damage that he did.
I don't disagree with that. In fact, you have a lot of people saying that they're not going to be fans of the Houston Texans until either Cal sells the team or he fires Jack Easterby. My question at that point would be, okay, what if you go 12-5, you're in the AFC Championship game next year, and you look like you're really close to being a contender in the Super Bowl? Are all the sins forgotten?
I still don't think all of them are forgotten.
I think so.
I think some of them might be forgiven, and some of them never will be. I think because, you know what, if you don't win that game, whether you like it or not, someone's going to say, but would you have won that game if you had D-Hop? Would you have won that game? Because that would have been something that you actually, that was a player you could have. And I'm not saying that's fair. But
I don't know if you can say that in 2024. You know what I mean?
I get it, but I think that I'm saying whether fair or foul, people are still good. That's why I'm saying they're not going to forget that and the guys associated with it. Just like they're not going to forget the fact that whether you believe all the story or part of the story or whatever, that he went to JJ and then he went to had he and JJ or JJ himself got all the other guys that had issues with Bill O'Brien and got all the text messages together, but he was the messenger. He delivered it to Cal and said something's got to be done and got the guy that got him hired fired. And so those are the kind of things that stick with the fan base and say, that dude's a shyster. He's a backstabber, and I can't get on board with that guy. Now, winning does cure everything in a lot of ways. I'm not sure it's everything in this case.
Look, I was the first person in the city that said the day after he was hired that he was completely overqualified for this position, that a team chaplain should not have the role he had with the Houston Texans. But as we talk, March 2022, after Nick Casario, I just view it as Jack Easterby has been demoted of the power that everybody thinks he has. 713.
But not overqualified. Completely underqualified.
Did I say overqualified? Yeah, he was completely underqualified. I said that and I got some grief. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, Aaron Rodgers' self-imposed deadline for a decision is tomorrow. How do the team still in the mix compare to the Packers? Also, whenever we come back, we'll take a look. If you found this, would you return it? It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
If you found a wallet with $4,000 in it, would you return it?
I kind of feel like...
You have to tell the truth, even though we're speaking to millions and millions of Houstonians.
I kind of feel like I would. I don't think my conscience would let me realize that no matter what I think I could possibly gain by keeping it, that I could that could be someone's paycheck, that could be someone's, you know, difference between eating and not eating or paying rent and not paying rent. And I couldn't live with myself for doing that, and I would hope that maybe there's a reward involved. But, like, I was doing just fine without it. So as much as I think it would have been cool, I think, and it happened to me this weekend. I was
found $4,000 in the wallet?
No, not quite to that level. But like, I'm at the gas station, and someone's like, credit card is sitting right there on the pavement. And like, and I walked it in and said, hey, someone's probably going to come looking for this. And instead of the guy saying thank you, he's like, where'd you get it? And it's almost like he started berating me as if I stole it. I'm like, bro, if I stole it, I'd be paying for my gas and going like down to the jewelry store. I'm trying to do a solid here and turn it back in. I don't think my conscience would let me take it and spend the money.
Yeah, Anna Delvey would never. Brendan, could you find $4,000 in a wallet and give it back?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with Joel. I would be miserable taking it. Whatever I spent that on would not be worth it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. In fact, I think I'd have nightmares if I kept it. Like, my guilt would be, like, at an all-time high.
I said this to you before the show. If it was, like, I'm not saying I would, but, like, if it was, like, $20, I might be a little bit more like, like, whatever about it. $4,000 is, like... No, like, you're not messing with
if you
that.
Found
that,
a 20 in the parking lot, or you find a 20,
just a $20
like
bill.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have no problem like going.
Right.
Well, you know what? You should probably put your money in a wallet or take better care of it. But $4,000, like, whether you're a Jack Easterby guy or not, if you're a karma guy at all, which I am, I could not live with myself going, yeah, there, something bad's coming my way because I just screwed someone out of 4K.
One time I lost my wallet and it had $40 in it and somebody returned it, but they didn't. The cash was gone at that point.
Are you okay with that as long as like your ID and your credit cards?
I was okay with it. Like, I didn't say anything because I don't even know if it was that person that took the cash. You know, like, somebody returned it.
Then they just threw the wallet away.
Yeah. At that point, they could have already taken the cash. I'm not going to accuse somebody that I have zero chance of knowing took the cash. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I was okay with it because you don't want to go through the trouble of, like, replacing your cards, replacing your driver's license. I was like, that's kind of, like, strange that somebody would have the audacity to take the $40.
It's like 40 is the price of being careless as opposed to, like, you're really hurting someone severely, because Brennan and I were talking about this, the level that people go to these days to try and like illegally get money, especially from like older people, is just, it's so sinister that you just hope something really bad happens to them, because you can see why old people succumb to, you know, the fact that they get an email, for instance, and it has the exact logo of Citibank on the email and says, we are currently having some charges that we're really concerned about on your account. Please provide us with all your card information so that we can get to the bottom of it. You know how many old people are probably sitting at the house going, oh my goodness, let me get to the bottom of this quickly. And they don't realize if they go in and look at the actual email address it's sent from, it has nothing to do with Citi cards. And it's some concoction of numbers and letters of some like temporary account that's just there to siphon money from you. And they fall for it. That's sad, man. Yeah. You can't get a real job, but that's the way you're going to take money from people.
Do you think if Aaron Rodgers found a wallet with $4,000 in it, he'd return it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. Aaron Rodgers, not the best segue. according to reports, if he...
By the way, you brought this up. I didn't. I just want to make sure.
What do you mean
clear.
I brought it up?
Because you bring up the Rodgers topic that I get negative, falsely accused of all the time. I hate talking about this because I'm so sick and over and just done with Aaron Rodgers, period, that I just... Whether I'm happy with the decision or not, I just want it to happen at this point.
Right. I mean, it's the top storyline.
I'm not
in the
mad
NFL.
At you guys. I'm saying I've gotten hammered in the past by listeners that think that I want to make this like a Packers Aaron Rodgers show, which I don't.
No. I mean, we're spending half of a segment talking on the biggest NFL story that could be coming down
but
the pike.
But that's easily pointed at me.
Anyways, Aaron Rodgers down to three teams if he leaves Green Bay. Denver, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. Reading this report, it at least rules out retirement, right?
Yeah, I think he wants to play. I've said all along he's going to go back to Green Bay. Everything that they've been doing to this point in terms of trying to restructure all these salaries and do all these different things are all predicated by the fact that they want Adams and Rodgers back, and they're going to do whatever they can to get it. I think some of these things are like so far-fetched, it's crazy. The Tennessee situation to me is laughable because of the fact that most people don't delve into it deep enough to realize his brothers have moved to Nashville, and they own restaurants and bars, and they're going to continue to open them. And he wants to live close to at least those members of the family he still talks to.
Yeah.
And so he's heard great things about Nashville, too, so he bought land there. So is that suddenly make him a front runner for the Tennessee? If you wish to believe that, that's fine.
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't Aaron Rodgers want to go play for Tennessee? They had the best record in the AFC last year with Ryan freaking Tannehill.
Yeah, they did, right? But we've already talked about the gauntlet of quarterbacks you got to get through to win the AFC. And the one thing that he's really chasing is not another appearance in a conference championship game. It's a Super Bowl. And so the road's going to be really, really – no, he's got enough for six lifetimes in cash. And if you also believe what you're reading as early as this morning, the report that he's already been involved in being offered, and he's been put – I don't want to say negotiating because that would mean that he's pushing back and giving a counter proposal. But they've already had discussions about his contract for the future, making him the highest paid and extending it so that it doesn't affect this year's cap so they can get more players on the team. So all of that lends me to believe this is all much ado about nothing. I just want the guy to make a decision one way or another, whether he does it on the McAfee show or however elaborately he's going to do it, even if he does it with rap lyrics on Twitter, as much as I hated that with Deshaun. I just want it out there so that we know what we're dealing with, we know what the rest of the football landscape's going to look like, and stop talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be rap lyrics on Twitter from Aaron Rodgers. But no. You mentioned the fact that McAfee, he goes on McAfee tomorrow. Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers' self-imposed deadline was tomorrow. Do you think we're finding out soon from Rodgers?
Yeah, I think he said himself he doesn't. And again, he's already held the franchise hostage. As much as he said he didn't want to do that and he wanted to make the decision before the start of free agency, I heard Mike Tannenbaum talking about this morning. Everybody in Indy right now is having conversations. You can't discuss the player specifically with the player, but agents are talking to agents. Agents are talking to general managers. General managers are talking to each other so that they can start consummating deals. The Packers can't have any of those conversations until they know what they're dealing with, because with him, their cap is totally different than without him. And without him, they're probably shopping. They're not trying to buy. They're trying to get rid of a lot of their assets because they're not going to be in the same position.
Looking at the other three teams that were mentioned as possible destinations if Rodgers were to leave Green Bay, Denver, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, mm-hmm. how do those three teams compare to the Packers if he goes there? Because I think you can make the case that all three would be better spots than Green Bay, but that Green Bay has the easier path than the other three.
Green Bay definitely has the easier path, but how do you figure that those three are better than Green Bay when you start talking about the quality of players that they have in Green Bay?
Players. I think Tennessee has better roster than Green Bay outside of the quarterback position. If you were to eliminate the quarterback position last year from both teams, I think Tennessee has the best roster, better roster than Green Bay.
I would disagree with that, but I think that from a defensive perspective, I can see where you can have certain players,
yep.
but there's also, depending on who's coming back, when you look at it, if you take the Devondre Campbell, who was a first-team All-Pro as a linebacker, and you start talking about if they bring Za'Darius Smith back, who 2 years ago was All-Pro, but had was out basically the whole season with a back issue that he had surgery for, you can go say Kenny Clark is one of the best defensive nose tackles in the game. You can sit there and go and try and weigh it out.
Sure.
I think that the over-the-hill receivers that they have in Tennessee for
AJ
the most
Brown
part.
AJ Brown is not over-the-hill.
Can I finish, though? With the exception of AJ Brown, everybody else is over the hill. When you look at what you have in Green Bay, you can eliminate Randall Cobb, but you still have Valdez Scantling, and you
it's
still
a free
have.
Agent.
Again, I said it depends on who they bring back.
That's a lot
but
of
you have the
buts.
Best receiver in the game in Devontae Adams. So if you're going to say he doesn't count either because he's not on the. Well, he's a free agent, too.
But you can only tag possibly. One. I mean, they wouldn't let Devontae Adams go if they're bringing back Aaron Rodgers. The defense, to me, is where Tennessee's far better than Green Bay. You know, Green Bay's not, you know, chopped liver. I think their defense is solid. But I think Tennessee would be better next year if they brought in Aaron Rodgers than what Green Bay
because
was
Because you
this
can
year.
Say Henry's obviously the number one at running back, but in terms of running back depth, I think that you take Jones and you take A.J. Dillon
yeah.
and the guys they have and say, well, you know what, do you want a 1-2 punch or do you want just the one battering ram that got hurt last year in Henry? Because obviously I can understand if you say Henry's yeah. better.
Give me Tennessee all day all That's over fine. Green Bay. Give me Pittsburgh all day over Green
offensive
Bay.
Line?
Najee
okay.
Harris, that offensive line's going to be improved. They have T.J. Watt on the defensive side, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and especially give me the Denver Broncos over the Green Bay Packers. So much better, that young talent that they have on the defensive side, that strong offensive
be
core
better off
that
if
they
you
would have.
All,
for
you just went on Twitch and put all this down to think that, you know, that I would have some kind of – because it would really get to me. Because other than that, I mean, I know what you're doing. Look, I've already accepted both situations. I'm ready for both situations. I'm just ready for it to be over, to yeah. be honest with you, because I can't stand how he is as a person. But I know that without him, the Green Bay Packers, the team that I cheer for, is not going to be as good for probably a long, long time. So I'd rather have him back for a couple years and get the last couple years out of it as opposed to starting over now.
Corey says ESPN's going to run the decision part two featuring Aaron Rodgers. I think we might see that on Pat McAfee.
I agree.
Pat McAfee's going to be the decision, maybe, part two.
Maybe they both
tomorrow.
Go sleeveless tomorrow.
Maybe they do. Green Bay, Denver, Pittsburgh, or Tennessee. Where do you think he should go? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, Coach K lost in his home finale, last game ever at Cameron Indoor. Let's talk about it when we return. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right about now, I want to tell you about New Breaks because I talk about things that I personally will speak for from experience. I had my experience with New Breaks. It was fantastic. It was painless. They did the job that they said that they were going to do, and they did it in a manner that it was so easy for me that it's easy for me to talk about them and encourage you to do the same. A lot of the listeners that heard me talking about it, signed up for it, did it, and came back to me and said, my goodness, thank God you tipped me off to New Breaks because that's the only way I want to do my breaks going forward because it was so easy to do. Saving time is saving money, and that's the first thing that they're going to do for you because you can be doing other things while they fix your brakes. I did a show while they fixed my brakes in the parking garage. You can be at your house doing a multitude of other things while they're fixing your brakes in the garage or the driveway, and it's fantastic. They're only certified technicians that do brakes. They don't do anything else. They're not going to upsell you or try and tell you that something else is wrong with your car. And they have multiple jobs to do in a day. So they want to get your job done quick and easy and make sure it's the best job that they can do so they can move on to the next one on their list and you can move on for the rest of your day. You're not going to get stuck in a waiting room. You're not going to be sitting there at the mercy of a mechanic. You're not going to be upcharged for other things that they say is wrong with your car. They're just going to fix your brakes, and they're going to fix them better than anybody else. Go to nubrakes.com right now and sign up for an appointment. When you do, you're going to find out if you mention ESPN 97.5, you'll save 10%, but you'll save time, and that's saving money, and that's why you go to New Brakes. Prices are competitive in terms of their overall prices. They use the same parts as any other brake shop in town. The only difference is they come to you to do what they do. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by because you're going to be glad you did. It's newbrakes.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.